Build the wall, as our favourite great orange president Trump once said. Well, Saudi Arabia perhaps took this a little too literally. Josh, how hard are you being hit by the current housing scarcity crisis?
About as hard as anyone else.
Would you be happy to live in a gigantic wall to offset it instead?
No.
Well, that's a shame, because we're all going to be living in Saudi Arabia's hive city in the future. But first, if you'd like to subscribe to lotuseaters.com, you can see John Wheatley and Rory discuss why there are architectural monstrosities throughout modernity. And Rory actually tries to defend brutalist architecture as something beautiful. I always come back to the George Orwell quote from Notes on a Common Toad, where he says that stripping architecture of all kinds of beauty is actually a way to refocus your religious sentiment towards state worship. But I'm sure Rory will tell me why I'm uncultured. Anyway, go and watch this debate. It's fantastic. So we're going to play a video first off, because we're going to get told exactly why living in the pod in the gigantic wall is a desirable idea.
For too long, humanity has existed within dysfunctional and polluted cities that ignore nature. Now, a revolution in civilization is taking place. Imagine a traditional city and consolidating its footprint, designing to protect and enhance nature. The line will be home to 9 million residents and will be built with a footprint of just 34 square kilometers. And we are designing it to provide a healthier, more sustainable quality of life. The line's communities are organized in three dimensions. Residents have access to all their daily needs within 5-minute walk neighborhoods. And the line's infrastructure makes it possible to travel end-to-end in 20 minutes with no need for cars, resulting in zero carbon emissions. By leveraging AI technology, services are autonomous, saving you time and effort. Designed by world-leading architects, the line is 500 meters tall, 200 meters wide, 170 kilometers long, and housed within an elegant mirror glass facade. Intelligent solutions create efficiency and year-round temperate microclimate with natural ventilation. Energy and water supplies are 100% renewable. The line is designed as a series of unique communities, offering a wealth of amenities, providing equitable views and immediate access to the surrounding nature. With 40% of the world accessible within 6 hours at the heart of the globe's key trade routes, a place for commerce and communities to thrive like nothing on Earth seen before. The Line, the city that delivers new wonders for the world.
I'm not sure if that's a promotion for a city or a cult recruitment video.
It just looks horrific. The word I can think of is enclosure. You look like you're just being built a high-tech gilded cage. There are a few problems with this, of course. Number one, it looks like Mass Effect's Citadel, which it's all wonderful and good in a sci-fi thing that we inherit, but I wouldn't particularly want to live there, particularly with the flying cars constantly going overhead. Number two, the fact that it's got the mirror sides, it says to be very eco-friendly. How many dead birds and animals are going to run straight into that? And just the line of corpses littering. It's going to be like Wakanda's invisible shield. So I just don't understand as well why they're saying, oh, nearby nature, what, the desert?
Yeah, it's a barren wasteland.
Yeah, if you want to take a walk in Mad Max territory. So it's going to be 200 meters wide, as they said, roughly 220 yards. It will be 500 meters above sea level. It's higher than the Empire State Building, as you saw in that little diagram. Residents will be able to run errands within a 5-minute walk. So they're going to micromanage exactly where everything is. And assumedly, all the shops and the transport and education centers and that are going to be static for all time. So nobody's going to need to move. They're never going to need to expand capacity. And they're never going to need to reorganize their perfectly designed utopia. There'll be no roads or cars. We'll cling on to that idea for later. High-speed rail will carry everyone from end to end in 20 minutes. You can only imagine the inertia if your apartment is above that particular train line. It will cost hundreds of billions of dollars to build, and the promo video reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever played Overwatch.
I know of it.
So there's a map called Oasis, and it looks exactly like that, and it even has the same music for the loading screen. And that's not a good thing, because that's where all the villains hang out. So So Saudi Arabia is actually taking a lot of UK engineering. There's a Telegraph article on this in the next one. Apparently, this was paid. They paid the rugby game to advertise this. So alongside Pepsi commercials and things like that, people were very confused to see why this was advertised during the Six Nations. The ads promoted the audacious and some might think far-fetched plan to launch a 105-mile strip in 2030 with no cars, roads or carbon emissions. Instead, the line will run on renewable energy, providing shelter to 1 million residents. It is yet another scheme dreamt up by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, bastion of democracy and transparency, as part of his 400 billion NEOM project, a desert settlement where residents can visit in glow-in-the-dark beaches, watch cage-fighting robots, and drink alcohol. Either way, the line could provide a lucrative opportunity for British construction businesses, although many remain sceptical. Now, when he's saying cage-fighting robots and all this, it just sounds like the city from Alita Battle Angel.
I'm not familiar.
Okay, so it's this sort of central cyberpunk dystopia where they watch cybernetically augmented people fight in a coliseum doing a racetrack where it's like no holds barred violence. Or it sounds like, what was the Hugh Jackman film, Real Steel, where it's the real version of Rock'em Sock'em Robots and they're just the gigantic robot wars thing. Are we really going back to the early 2000s now? Is that what we're doing? So in the next article, the 75-mile-long skyscraper is mirror-clad. It'll be 5 million people, apparently, in the Saudi Arabian desert, so that's quite up from the 1 million figure before. It has a high-speed railway, a sports stadium, and vertical gardens where vegetables will be harvested by robots. Sounds very Matrix. Leaked architectural designs claim that Mirror Line, an entire city of 5 million people built on stilts as high as the Empire State Building, will be the largest structure in the world and claim to bend to the curvature of the earth. Vertical farming will be integrated in the building so that residents, who will pay a subscription fee to have 3 meals a day, will have their vegetables autonomously harvested and bundled and taken into their co-living kitchens.
You'll live in the line and you will be happy.
Yes, exactly. We'll come on to that in a moment. If the Mirror Line is successfully completed, it will run from the Gulf of Aqaba through a mountain range which will house the Saudi government and into the desert plains, according to the documents. Now, again, notice, your vegetables will be autonomously harvested. So you will have to pay a subscription service to have a plant-only diet. And suddenly, if you say something against the Saudi government and do something incorrect, the algorithm will turn off and you won't be able to eat. You'll be stuck in the line in the middle of nowhere and won't be able to access transport to get out of it. Because, of course, there's no privately owned transport. There's no cars. There's only the planes that will come in and out through wherever the hell the airport is for this place and the trains. So The Guardian has a lot of photos on this, so we'll as I'm reading, John will be able to scroll through them, and we'll see what basically looks like a Destiny map there. It looks like the Mars, the Venus map, where you go for the Black Gardens, so I can't wait for the Vex to invade. Multimedia presentations have added colour to what until now has been a concept that even some of the project's planners found it difficult to visualise. The slickly produced films show a megacity that partly resembles the Death Star with hanging gardens. Residents will have all daily needs reachable within a 5-minute walk, while also having access to other perks such as outdoor skiing facilities and high-speed rail with end-to-end transit of 20 minutes. Don't you want to go skiing in the Saudi desert, John? Neom was partly conceived as a divergence from tradition and from the sclerosis of the past 4 decades, in which leaders have doubled down on a hardline interpretation of Islam, maintaining inflexible societal standards. So this is being marketed to liberalise Saudi Arabia, but to me it sounds like a technocratic totalitarian hellscape, and that looks like a map from Crisis.
It does, yeah. I was just thinking that.
It looks like the destroyed New York one.
It also looks like there's going to be horrendous problems with condensation, and also that the top is open as well. What happens if there's a sandstorm? You just get loads of sand in there.
Yeah, you're right. What happens if the climate control turns off because there's a shortage of the AI or the generators, and suddenly it's so humid and we're just coated and it looks like Tatooine? It just sounds terrible. It's like a new Pompeii's going to happen. With little access to the site and only 8 years before residents are meant to move in, it's a lot to take on trust, said one consultant who works closely with the Saudi government. And then there's inertia in the system. It's hard to exercise that. So apparently there's problems with working conditions. You're doubtless going to get the same thing as when Solzhenitsyn documented the building of the Soviet canals, people dying on the job and just having their bodies concreted over like some serial killer's garage. We saw that with the Qatar Stadium, of course, where the footballers who are all taking the knee are going to go and definitely not protest the Qatari regime while they play. So then all of this sounds very much like you've presaged the wonderful article by Danish Environment Minister Eid Alken that I always love coming back to for Forbes. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and have never been better. There we are. This absolute gem. She talks in it about the expropriation of property ownership, the common use of property. As soon as you leave your house, it'll be used for business meetings. The fact that you will own no cars, everything will be reliant on public transport, everything will be funded by renewables, everything will be delivered by drone, and everything will be a subscription service. That sounds an awful lot like this, doesn't it?
Mm.
And I wonder why. Perhaps it's because Mohammed bin Salman's foundation is partnered with the World Economic Forum.
I'm not surprised whatsoever.
No, it's almost like the global technocrats with no moral consideration have no problem with a man who decapitates, well, I'd say journalists, but Al Khashoggi was actually a friend of bin Laden, so I'm not going to cry too many tears over spilled milk for that one. But still, not a good guy. So what will this produce? And I think I wanted to include this segment because I'm sure we're going to have a bit of a loggerheads over the psychology of this, but I am concerned that it will reproduce the same sort of symptoms as the mouse utopia experiment, John Calhoun's. For mm-hmm. those who aren't familiar, I know it's been touted a lot, the mouse or rat utopia experiment. John B. Calhoun, who is an animal behavioral psychologist, enclosed four pairs of mice in a 4.5 foot metal pen with all the food and water they needed and provided by water dispensers, tunnels, food bins, and nesting boxes. He made it impenetrable to predators. So it's a lot like the Gilded Cage I said. They became the inhabitants of Dostoevsky's Crystal Palace, something that Nick and Dixon and I will be covering on the book club for Notes from Underground. They're beset by only eating cake, sleeping, and busying themselves with the continuation of the species. And he actually believes, of course, that because humans have autonomous free will and they'll just destroy something if utopia comes along and we'll be too bored, well, animals with a limited ability for cognition won't do the same thing. Calhoun's intent was to only observe the effects of resource abundance on population density, not only of rodents, but of humans. I shall largely speak of mice, but my thoughts are on man, he said in a comprehensive overview of his report. So just before I delve into this, do you actually think that cross-species studies are possible for observing behaviour?
Well, it depends on the species. There's a lot of validity at looking at, say, primates, because we are a primate.
Yeah, Franz de Waals does a lot of work on that as well. Mm-hmm.
But I think that although it might be emotionally appealing to look at research like this, human beings aren't mice, and we behave differently to mice. I know that's difficult to comprehend. I know we eat a lot of cheese, but...
Yeah, I certainly do. I think... So, of course, in your actual psychological background, yes, I do think, though, it's a very useful analogy for describing the effects of population density and stacking humans into high rises with confined spaces with limited access to private gardens, or even just the idea of going to separate rooms for different things like a kitchen or bedroom, and your effects on human psychology, this sort of hypercompression and compartmentalization.
I certainly think that the population density argument is a good one, that when you have people stacked on top of each other, it is sort of crazy making. It's not healthy for human psychology, because you wouldn't have experienced that. Normally you would, in a kind of the environment in which we evolved, we would be moving about, rarely coming into contact with other people. And when we came into contact with other people, the chances are it would be a sort of frosty relationship. We wouldn't be so sure as to whether they had good intentions or not. So then being confined with lots of strangers all around you at all times, well, that part of your brain, which you can't really get rid of, you can't switch off, will constantly be like, oh, you need to keep an eye out. Those people, they might be out to get you. And you can't switch that off. That's part of human nature. And if you're constantly surrounded by people, it's going to raise your baseline sort of anxiety level, because you're constantly having to look over your shoulder because of what evolution has programmed you to behave like.
And disarming ourselves of a conscious version of this predator detection response, putting it into the subconscious, it can drive certain neuroses when we're only focused on ourselves and not focused on resource procurement. When we've got an abundance and we don't have to trade with other civilizations, for example, then that means that all our problems become introspective. And also we develop these things like luxury beliefs. And I think that's definitely where the World Economic Forum's ideas come out of. It's this utopian luxury belief model of not only controlling us, but also it's reliant on people who have so much, they have so much bread and circuses, they forget the practical wisdom of how this was procured in the first place. They've inherited a civilization they wouldn't know how to rebuild if it collapsed. And so I wanted to talk specifically about the rat utopia before we wrap up. Initially, the population doubled every 55 days, but after 600 days, with enough space to accommodate as many as 1,600 other rodents, the population peaked at 2,200 and began to decline precipitously, straight down to the extinction of the entire colony, despite their material needs being met. On day 315, females began abandoning their young. Males relinquished defending their territory. Both sexes became more violent and aggressive. Deviant behavior, sexual and social, mounted with each passing day. The last 1,000 mice to be born tended to avoid stressful activity and focus their attention increasingly on themselves. They were nicknamed the beautiful ones, and this is the idea of behavioral sync. This is the idea of self-obsession. This is, as we see and believe in human societies, the people that are performative on TikTok, and like the nurse who mimicked how she was distraught about her patient dying for clicks, even though it was all set up. And I'm just going to read briefly from an article. I believe it's in the description. from Fee, the behavioral sink of self-destructed conduct in Calhoun's experiment, which he replicated on numerous subsequent occasions, has been mostly interpreted as resulting from crowded conditions. Demographers warn that humans might succumb to similar aberrations if the world population should ever exceed some imaginary optimal maximum. Others, like Kuban, point out the mouse utopia experiment fell apart well before the mouse enclosure was full. Even at the peak of the population, some 20% of nesting beds were unoccupied. Calhoun said, "Herein is the paradox of life without work or conflict. When all sense of necessity is stripped from the life of an individual, life ceases to have purpose. The individual dies in spirit." So I think, even though it may not be applicable to draw a direct correlation, a causal relation between mouse behavior and human behavior, it provides a useful analogy for exactly how population density and resource abundance affects human psychology. And I think to live in this gilded cage, we should heed Calhoun's warning. We should not live in the wall. We should not live in the pod. We should not eat the vegetables delivered to us by drone. Instead, we should become more autonomous, more decentralized, and not accept the WEF's dire plans to have us live in a gigantic superstructure in the middle of the desert. I know housing is bad, but no thanks.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the Epoch series, this one on King Canoe. And if you want to find out what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter at @lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.